And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We have read verses 20 through 22 from the third chapter of the book of Revelation. And be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. This morning we complete a year of Hear Ye Him broadcasts, in which we have invited you to hear the words of Jesus Christ as recorded in his scriptures, and as they are brought to you by his apostles, prophets, and servants, both ancient and modern. We have presented the history and the claims of the Restoration Movement as represented by the reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We have described the prophetic mission and ministry of Joseph Smith, the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, the history of the rise of the Church. We have tried to bring you the fullness of Christ's gospel, to explain its doctrines, sacraments, and ordinances, to give you some understanding of what we believe as a Church and why. We have tried to bring you an explanation of the purposes, goals, and ideals towards which we are striving as individuals and as a church. Perhaps you have wondered why we have as yet issued no invitation to join the church. Perhaps you have even visited one of our services and wondered why we do not have an altar call, or why someone did not invite or urge you to unite with the church. Perhaps we should invite and urge people more than we do. The fact that we don't is sometimes misconstrued to mean that we are cold or indifferent or clannish. We are perhaps more eager than most Christian people to share what we have because we sincerely believe that we have more to share than any other church. But it has never been our policy to use an excessive emotional appeal or high-pressure evangelistic methods. We want converts who accept Christ with the head as well as with the heart, with intellect as well as with the emotion. We will go to any lengths to inform men and women of our message, to answer their inquiries, to resolve their honest doubts if possible. We give them all the time they want to make up their minds and let them make their own decisions without harassment or endless importunity. The door is always open, but it is you who must step through the door. You will never be pushed into this church against your will. Now that you have a knowledge of at least some of the teachings of the reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, what are you going to do about your knowledge? Where there is ignorance, there is some excuse for inaction. But where there is knowledge, procrastination is sin for which there is no excuse. If you postpone your decision to embark fully in service to Christ until it is too late to serve him, you have decided not to decide, and that is a wrong decision. We want to devote some of our sermon time this morning to explaining what is expected of those who join our fellowship, or what some of the requirements for membership in the church are. In suggesting some of these standards, we do not mean to imply that all of our members live up to them fully. We have some backsliders among our membership, and, yes, perhaps an occasional hypocrite, too. The church is not composed of perfect people, but of people who are mutually and cooperatively striving to become perfect with the help of God and of each other, and who are striving to the best of their human abilities to witness for Christ with a godly walk and conversation among their neighbors. Would we require you to subscribe to a formal creed? No. We have no formal or written creed to imprison the intellects or the spiritual understandings of men, or to bind the men of tomorrow to the frozen concepts of today. A creed is sometimes a very good thing when it can be used to catch up and make concrete and objective a man's beliefs. But no creed ever written has ever been satisfactory to all men. No creed ever written was altogether an exploration for further truth, but rather an attempt to solidify and congeal known truth in such a form that men are forced to accept it now and for all time. Each generation demands the right to revise the old creeds and to write its own new ones. In keeping with our belief that the process of God's revealment is not a completed, finished process, but a continuing one, we say that our creed is all truth, wherever and whenever found, or by whomsoever it is revealed. Though we do not have a formal creed, we would expect the candidate for church membership to have some basic fundamental beliefs, which he could phrase in his own way, or leave unphrased if that better suited his needs. We would expect him to have faith in God, the infinite, the eternal, the creator of heaven and earth. We would expect him to believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world. And, quoting from section 17 of our book of Doctrine and Covenants, who suffered temptations but gave no heed to them, he was crucified, died, and rose again the third day, and ascended into heaven to sit down on the right hand of the Father, to reign with almighty power according to the will of the Father, and that as many as would believe and be baptized in his holy name and endure in faith to the end should be saved. End of quotation. We would expect you to have some belief in the Holy Spirit, which beareth record of the Father and of the Son, and through whose ministry spiritual gifts and direction are given to the church, and whose abiding presence constitutes the comforter which Jesus promised to his disciples. We would require of the candidate for church membership a manifestation of repentance from his former sins. Repentance would involve a forsaking of those sins and a doing of them no more. If the sin involved a personal wrong or injury to some other one, repentance might involve confession of that sin to the person who had been wronged, and an effort to effect reconciliation and make restitution insofar as that was possible. Jesus does not save unrepentant people in their sins, but only repentant people from their sins. You cannot bring your sin with you into the Church of Christ and be acceptable to him, no matter how well you succeed in fooling church officials or your fellow members. We would require of the candidate for church membership baptism by immersion by one of our ministers whom we recognized as having authority to officiate in the ordinances of the church. This requirement grows out of our peculiar beliefs about priesthood authority, which we have explained earlier in the year. This baptism, according to scriptural teaching, would be for the remission of repented sins. It would symbolize the death of the old man and the birth of the new. It would be the public avowal of a covenant entered into with Christ, a covenant in which the candidates agree that they have truly repented of all their sins and are willing to take upon them the name of Jesus Christ, having a determination to serve him to the end and truly manifest by their works that they have received the Spirit of Christ unto the remission of their sins. We do not baptize any under 8 years of age, which we believe is the age of accountability. Following baptism, the elders of the church would lay hands on your head and pray for the gift of the Holy Ghost, God's seal of adoption and acceptance of the covenant you have made with him. Would you be expected to believe in Joseph Smith as a prophet of God? People oftentimes ask that question and seem to be strangely troubled by it. Let us answer it this way. Salvation is through belief in and acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Savior, not through a belief in Joseph Smith or any other man. But we would point out that if Christ spoke through Joseph Smith as a true prophet, rejection of that prophetic ministry and message would constitute a rejection of Christ, at least in part. We would be willing to offer you baptism solely on the basis of your belief in Christ, but your acceptance of our authority to baptize would be tantamount to accepting Joseph Smith as a prophet and spokesman for Christ. Would you be expected to believe in the Book of Mormon? We would sincerely hope that you did, but we would not necessarily make it a test of membership or of fellowship. Belief in Christ is essential to salvation. Belief in the Book of Mormon is not. But we would hope that in the fellowship of our people and under their ministry of teaching, you would become increasingly aware of the truth and value of the Book of Mormon in explaining and clarifying and enlarging upon some of the obscure doctrines of the Bible in bearing added witness to the divinity of Christ. The Book of Mormon is an indispensable book to those who want the fullness of the gospel, but perhaps it is not necessary for you to have the fullness until you have grown more nearly into spiritual maturity. As a prerequisite to membership, we would expect you to have some knowledge and understanding of the beliefs of the church, the duties of its members, and the obligations of citizenship in God's kingdom. The pastor of the congregation you expected to join would probably inquire about this understanding and might suggest that you wait for baptism until you knew more, not because you were in any sense unwelcome, but because we want fully informed, fully converted, permanent members, not those who will drift away from us after a few weeks or months or years. Would you be expected to pay your tithing? Well, like all the laws of the church, God's laws regarding finances are obligatory but not compulsory. Many of our present members are still unconverted to the law of tithing, which teaches that one-tenth of your net worth is due at the time of baptism, and after that one-tenth of the increase each year after necessary living expenses have been met. No one comes around on payday to collect the tithe under threat of expulsion from the church. No one deducts it from your paycheck. On the other hand, it is our ideal so to instruct not only the candidates for membership, but our present membership, that they will wish to comply voluntarily with the law of tithing. There are certain other obligations of church membership which we would certainly hope and expect new members to maintain. There is the obligation of attendance at regular church meetings, and especially at the monthly communion service, where the covenant made in baptism is renewed and remembered at the Lord's table. There is the obligation of prayer, both public and private, at home and abroad in the meetings of the church. There is the obligation to cultivate all the Christian graces, to be clean in body and mind, to be generous, honest, industrious, thrifty, kind, forgiving, loving, friendly, and sincere. There is the obligation to shun evil companions who would bring reproach upon the church, to abstain from bad habits which enslave the will, destroy the spiritual perception, and debilitate the body. There is the obligation to be true to the marriage covenant and to maintain a Christian home life. There is the responsibility to bear one's fair share of the civic and political responsibility in the community, to do one's full share in the work of the church, to bear witness to your friends and neighbors of the good news you have found and of what it has done for you. If you would like to join with us in the reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we shall be glad to send you the name of the pastor and the location of the congregation nearest your home. You will be welcome to visit there to continue your investigation. Everyone will be glad to help you, but no one will crowd you or urge you or rush you. We want you to have all the time you need to learn, to think things through, to pray things through. If the pastor does not urge you to join the church, it is not because he does not want you as a member. It is because he is waiting for you to make up your mind that you want us. The door is open. The invitation is always there. You have heard our beliefs, and we are waiting for you to make up your mind. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. May we join now in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that thy blessing may be upon the message of this hour and upon those of the hearts of all those who have listened. Grant that those hearts might be inclined unto thee, that they might be open and receptive to thy truth and to the ministry of thy Holy Spirit. And we pray thee that that Spirit may lead and guide into all truth, and that it may bring us all unto thee and into thy kingdom. For we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
These are the